is Ron Stevens with Python 411, Computer Programming for Everybody, and it's my pleasure to have Michael Morin with us, and he is building a portal server, I believe. Is that right, Michael?
Yeah, it's a set of libraries for Python, which will allow people to create objects kind of similar to a J2E portal. The scope of it is changing a little more to fit almost more of a templating theme, to be able to allow people to, the idea is to be able to allow people to trivially use it with Turbo Gears or another mega framework out there.
Okay. Well, first let me give the audience the idea. This, the way we got together was I did a podcast about a couple months ago where I talked about subjects that people were asking for more information on that I didn't know much about, and one of them was databases, and we haven't had any podcasts about databases, and another one was web frameworks, which people are, both of those subjects people are very interested in. So you were good enough to get in touch with me, and that was probably 6 weeks ago, and I've had several problems that kept us from getting together until now, but really glad that we can. And it sounds like you're doing work that involves both of these key technology areas, right?
Yeah.
Could you give us a general background about how did you get into computers and how did you find Python and what was your background before Python?
Well, I got into computers back around 19, probably I'd have to say around 92 or 93.
Right.
And it started with an old TI-99 4A I was given as a gift.
Wow. That's an old... I'm trying to visualize what that looked like, even. It's hard to visualize.
Yeah, it was a real old machine. It was the first 16-bit computer released, but right. It was bad design, so it ran slower than most 8-bits.
That was before the Commodore 64, I guess, even.
The copyright on it was 1979-1981.
Wow, that and was in the days of the Apple II?
It was... But I got it, early 90s, and right. It didn't come with any books on how to program, but it did come with a reference guide saying what each BASIC commanded, because the thing was programmed in BASIC.
So did you program it in BASIC yourself?
Yep, that's what I ended up doing. I ended up doing that, and I ended up taking, I had a bunch of disks with programs, and I disassembled them, and that was kind of how I got into my computers.
It's amazing to me how many people started out with BASIC. I myself programmed first in BASIC. I was in college in the mid-70s on a time-sharing system, and we had good old BASIC was my first language that I ever programmed in. So as much as it gets abuse, it was useful in its day, right?
Yeah, it was very useful because then I used it because a lot of the software and stuff they used back at my elementary school was in BASIC, so I was able to, when there was a problem, fix it for various teachers and stuff.
Right, right. And then are you professionally involved in programming now?
Yeah, I do J2E work.
Right. Good old Java. Have you ever used Jython?
I toyed around with it, but I was never actually able to get it to work on my machine properly.
Okay. So how did you first find Python?
And when I had kind of played around with some little pieces of it. Like I tried to get Zope set up.
Right. That was that's a complex system in and of itself, I hear.
Yeah, it's I could never get Zope and Plone and everything else working exactly how I wanted it. That was actually one of the big drives why I'm doing what I'm doing now, because it's really nice, but there's a lot of stuff with it.
And six years ago with Python, Zope was called the killer app for Python, and I never actually used it because it had a reputation for being complex, but I know it also has a reputation for being very powerful. And when I go to PyCon, I've only been to one, but there's a lot of Zope people there, and I think it's still extremely it's used in a lot of very high power applications, but the learning curve is steep, I think, for if you're just starting with it.
Oh, it's very nice. Like I really like the Zope database.
Right.
ZODB, that is it was a great idea.
It's an object-oriented database.
Yeah, it's very neat. And I really like that. But what really got me actually started is last Christmas, I actually, for once, actually someone got me something on my Amazon wish list.
Right.
And I had thrown a Python book on there just for the heck of it. And I started reading about it in more depth. I'm like, wait, this is pretty cool.
Which
and
book did you get?
I actually got the O'Reilly
Learning
the O'Reilly Learning Python.
Yeah, it's a great book.
And then from there, about a week later, I read the book with in probably about a day or two. I read the whole book.
Right.
And then I went out and bought the Python Pocket Reference from O'Reilly.
Yeah, I got it. And I have to
say this personally, the Pocket Reference is probably the most thumbed computer book I got.
I just picked it up off of my desk, and you know, you hold it in your hand. It's smaller than a normal book. It's not an 8x11 even, right? It's I don't know, but it's small enough to hold in your hand. It's a Pocket Reference, and boy, it's right here, and I can look up anything in it.
Yeah, it's got everything. It's a great order. Pretty much all their Pocket References I've found have been pretty useful. I got one for PHP.
Right.
And I've also got one for databases that is really helpful, too.
Okay.
I've got one for SQL.
Right.
And that one, too, as I found very useful.
But you played around with TurboGears and Django?
Yep, I've also done Django. One thing I like TurboGears. Initially, when I started working on my portal server, part of the incentive here was to do something a little different than TurboGears, because I do like it, but there's just certain things about it that I would have done differently. Yeah. Since then, a lot of the new stuff in this the newest SVN version, they've really opened a lot of how they've done things up. They have, I can't think of the name off the top of my head, but they have, you can replace KID very easily now.
I tried it very lightly, so to speak, and I even got into an email discussion with the guy, what's his name, Kevin Rengor, on his email list, and I suggested that he allow Cheetah to be substituted, and I think he did do that very much.
Yeah, they have a pluggable end now where you can actually use things other than that. It's they've got Turbo Cheetah, which is a plug-in support, and they've also got another thing. I can't even find it on their site right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little piece which allows you to take that. They got a whole bunch of different.
Well, I just think it's great that they built that flexibility in, because so many people. I know KID must be good because Kevin Rengor swears by it, but Cheetah is also extremely popular, and everybody has their favorite templating language.
Yeah, I myself can see where for some apps KID looks like it'd be really nice.
Sure.
But for a lot of the stuff that typically I do, which is a lot of it, there's a lot of things people want, like a lot, is usually little more than a CRUD display for a lot of different sites I build.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the people, the stuff they want, when it gets right on down to it, it's little more than a CRUD plus a little bit of extra stuff.
And what does CRUD stand for?
Create up.
I used to know. Anyway, it's a simple, standard interface stuff. Front end to use a database on a website, right?
Yep. Yeah, I don't even know why it's not coming to me right now.
I don't remember it either, so don't worry about it. But so TurboGears, you decided ultimately not to go with it. Did you check out Django? That's the other very popular up-and-coming one.
Yeah, the first one I had tried it was Django. The first framework for Python I jumped into, and that seemed I liked it. It's create, read, update, delete.
Okay.
You might want to throw that in somewhere, but that's I knew I was going to remember that. Okay, I like Django a lot. It's got a lot of high level stuff. The automatic admin interface seems really neat.
Right.
One thing I thought, and this is only my own personal preference, is they did everything from scratch.
On Django.
Yeah. And it just, when I was playing with it, it seemed like it was, when you went beyond Django's family of tools, I wasn't sure how easy that is to integrate things.
Right.
I can't say whether it was or it wasn't, but it was, I like their object relational mapper. Mm-hmm. I really like that. It's a lot like it appears to use very similar to the active record pattern.
Right.
Which is my personal favorite. If you know Python, if you use Rails, I think most people probably feel at home in Django or Turbo Gears.
Right.
Because Turbo Gears is essentially a collection with a lot of the boilerplate code done, a collection of various Python, already existing Python pieces. Mm-hmm. And Django is from scratch creation of roughly the same thing.
Okay. What other frameworks did you try?
Well, the one I ended up settling on was Web.py.
Tell us a little about
all my
that
own
one
personal
and
work.
Why did you choose it?
Well, I ended up picking Web.py because it's very simple. In terms of how it operates, it is very clean.
Right.
You have all you got to do is you got to just import web, and you set up your URLs,
mm-hmm.
and then you have classes. And a class, let's say class hello, will be, you know, localhost/hello.
Okay.
And you specify, in that you specify two methods, a get and a post. So when you call that as from a get, it does a certain thing, and you can call it from a post, it does something else.
It's very similar. Anyone who's used the standard old Python CGI module knows what get and post are, I guess, right?
Yeah. And it's, to me, because I've done quite a bit of, it really actually almost reminded me very of a Java way, almost, of, like, you have a controller, and in your controller you have a do get and a do post.
Right.
And I just really like that workflow, personally.
Okay. So you're moving ahead using Web.py as your framework.
Yeah, it's also WSGI standard.
Yeah, that's very important, and I think Python is very fortunate to have WSGI as a standard across many different frameworks so that they can share and use a lot of the same standard interfaces. Can you give us just a quick overview of what WSGI is all about?
Well, it's basically, it was set up, I think it was PEP 333, if I'm not mistaken. And what it was is it was basically the idea was there was existing frameworks out there and existing ways of doing things. But it meant that if I wrote something, a web app on a particular framework or on a particular, let's say, app server for Python, there was no guarantee that I would have to almost completely rewrite it to get on anything else.
I see.
And what WSGI does is it provides just a thin layer. So depending on whether you use, you know, CGI, fast CGI, or mod Python or anything else,
mm-hmm.
you should, in theory, be able to run your web app on it just by putting it in a connector, essentially.
Right. So that's great for sharing between projects. And is Web.py, is it pretty actively maintained? Is there a user community associated with it?
There's a small user community. They have an IRC channel, but it doesn't get a whole lot of...
Right.
The IRC channel doesn't get much traffic.
Mm-hmm.
The Web.py mailing list, it's on Google Groups, seems to have a fairly large amount of traffic.
Oh, that's great.
And people have problems, it seems to get answered fairly quick.
Well, personally, I think it's great to have options and choices. And I've always heard that Web.py is, a lot of people like it because it's very simple. And, you know, myself, I like simple things, so that's always something in its favor. And it works well with what kind of databases?
It actually comes with its own database module.
Okay.
That you can use. I've never toyed with that.
Right.
It's very simple, though, and since I use it just to handle all the WSGI work, it does all that grunt work.
Right.
I use it for just the web part, and I have my own database part separate.
Well, what do you use for a database?
I've gone through a couple different things. I currently am using SQL Object.
Why don't you tell us what you investigated for database and why you wind up choosing SQL Object?
Well, I had looked at, there's a couple real good ones out there. There is SQL Object and there's SQL Alchemy.
Okay.
Both of those are, they're not, in fact, they are not databases in themselves. They are interfaces that are, they are object relation interfaces that allow me to take my current MySQL database and put it and connect it with Python, but not just using, let's say, the DB 2.0 spec. It allows me to do things in a Python-like fashion. If you, anyone's had any Java experience, I have found the best way for me to explain the difference between the two is SQL Object is more like Active Record for Ruby, and SQL Alchemy is more like Hibernate for Java.
Okay. Now, you have a lot of experience with Java. You've mentioned Ruby a couple times. Did you try Ruby on Rails also?
Yeah, I actually have made some web applications in Ruby on Rails.
I think it would be real interesting to hear your perspective of how the Pythonic solutions compare and why you chose to use Python as opposed to Ruby.
Well, you know, I played with Ruby. I wrote a couple web apps, so a few fairly non-trivial ones. We've got one that's actually, we're using it as part of a payroll system for people to report hours. And it came along pretty nice. The problem I found in it is I had some real trouble doing some more non-trivial things when it came to Active Record, for instance.
I had
problems that, you know, I picked up SQL Object and did it how I figured seemed right, and it worked right off the bat.
That might just be said for that.
That might just be partially the way I'm used to doing things versus the way Ruby does it. I'm not sure. What I know is I know at least for me, it just worked better. And personally, I like the I like Python syntax way better than Ruby syntax. There's a couple different, not a whole lot of differences, but I mean there's enough differences to that at least to me are major enough. And on top of it, I tend to think the Python community just seems a little, there's a lot more solutions out there, I think.
Yeah, and that's true in a lot of areas. In fact, I think if you, Ruby probably has more solutions in the web programming area than any other application niche. So if you look into other things, it's probably even more true that Python has more.
Ruby, when you think of Ruby, you think of Rails.
Right.
And I know there's a fairly large developer community beyond that, and there's even people who have developed other frameworks and other things beyond that, but it's just they aren't as – it just does not seem to be as active in terms of all the solutions that are out there.
No, I'm convinced. Well, you know, when I started out 6 years ago with Python, I actually bought the original Pickaxe Ruby book during that first year, and I compared them, and I weighed which way I was going to go, and I like Ruby, and the Pickaxe book was good, and I learned a lot from it, and I still, from time to time, do a little bit of Ruby, but I like Python better, and I'm convinced that there's a lot more available for Python than there is for Ruby, like you say. But that's interesting that you chose Python. And so now on your portal server, you've got web.py, and you're using SQL Object. And how's it coming along? And how long have you been working on it? And I don't want you to get into anything proprietary, but if there's any more you could tell us about that project, I'm sure it would be interesting to folks.
Yeah, that's I was using SQL Object, and I'm still going down that route for some things, but I'm trying to make it. It came down. What happened was it was basically a situation where I started working on it, and it began as my own personal site. I wanted to do the site in Python.
Right.
And I started working on it. I started building a couple just different routines to help me. Originally, it was just to be able to generate the content the way I was going to I wanted to generate the pages automatically. I did not want to have to write much HTML and be able to generate pages really easily. And I started working on it, and I started coming up with some pretty good routines. So I started pushing them into a portaling library, and I've just kind of gone from there. And it's very early stage. I've gotten pretty busy with work and everything lately, as what seems to always happen, you know.
Oh yeah, the time pressures. I know all about that.
Yeah, so I've been had to cut down some time working on that, but I think it's coming along pretty good. I got another project I'm working on because one of the big things I found, like, okay, for SQL Object, if you've worked with TurboGear, so even Jenga, if you want to use MySQL database, you have to go to SourceForge to some page and get the MySQL Python interface or whatever.
Okay.
And you have to do that. You have to compile an additional piece to be able to use the database. So what I'm actually working on is I'm working on a database in Python.
Oh.
There are a few out there already.
Right.
But the biggest problem I found from a lot of them is that they do some good things, but they do some kind of some things that, in my at least personal opinion, aren't that good. There's one out there that I really was looking at that I really liked, and it's called Kirbybase. And it's a database, and the guy's written it in Ruby and in Python.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that's pretty nice. It looks pretty nice. But it suffers the problem that it's not a SQL database.
Oh, okay.
It is a lot of the database for Python, they use the, they're all a little more Pythonic.
Right.
And they use the, typically a lot of them, I'm not sure I don't think Kirbybase does, but a lot of the databases for Python out there use the pickler.
Yes, yes.
They use the pickle object, and they pickle it down. They pickle down their objects. And they go from there, which is nice, but what I'm looking for is I'm looking for a SQL, complete SQL, it completely in Python. Because it comes down to I want to be able to have a situation. I mean, I know a lot of people use SQLite, but then that requires that you have SQLite on your system.
I think the new version of Python 2.5 comes with a version of SQLite, I think.
Well, it comes with the interface. I don't think it has a...
just the interface for it, yeah.
Yeah, in the included, I don't think it has a SQL database server, as it were, integrated with it. I'm not sure. I could be wrong. I've not checked out 2.5 at all yet.
Yeah, I haven't downloaded it yet either, but I need to get around to that because I'm anxious to play with it.
Me too. I kind of read through, kind of glossed through it, and it looks like there's a lot of neat things there.
Right.
There's a couple other ones, a couple other SQL Python systems out there that are written in Python. Actually, a great source for anyone is Python's website itself.
Mm-hmm.
On the lower right-hand side of their main site, there's all sorts of different lists of, you know, web frameworks, databases, and you've got stuff for your games, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And it's lists of a bunch of different frameworks and libraries and stuff people can go through.
Yeah, there really is a lot of it, links to a lot of information there, that's for sure. So you've only been using Python for about a year and a half, and it sounds like you're really pretty deep and doing a lot of very interesting stuff. So I take it you're pretty pleased with Python at this point?
Yeah, I really like it personally. It's the biggest problem I have with Python is it's caused whenever I go into work and I start working stuff in Java, I just, you know, wish I could do,
right.
Wish I could set it up a little easier. Wish I could just throw open an interactive terminal,
exactly,
and, you know,
yeah,
import the library I just wrote and run tests that way, not have to write driver classes and run them.
All right. So tell me, in your Python work, what sort of IDE do you use?
I've been using Eclipse.
Oh,
and I've been using
it. How do you find that? Because I guess you used it for Java first, so you knew it a little bit.
Yeah, I've used it for Java, and I also use the RadRails extension for Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been using the Python extension for Eclipse. It's pretty nice. I like it. I've had some things seem a little funny in it. My biggest complaint, I have to say, is the author is now has a commercial branch, Python,
yeah,
extensions or whatever.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And it just, it seems like a lot of the neat stuff is starting to go into that.
Sure.
I, you know, I'm...
How much does he charge for that?
You know, off the top of my head, I'm not sure.
Right.
I don't think it's very much, but it's still one of those, most of the new works. I realize you got to make money. Everyone's got to make money, but it's...
Right. But I know what you mean. It's not all completely free at that point. And...
Yeah, it's just one of those. It seems like some of the newer, some of the neat stuff starting to go that way, which means, you know, it's pretty nice, but I've been looking for, kind of looking for something else out there now that I can use.
Well, let me ask you, given that everybody has different requirements for their project and different likes and dislikes, if there are people out in the audience, and I'm sure there are, who are getting ready to dig into a web project and they haven't really started investigating the various frameworks and toolkits yet, what would you, could you quickly characterize the major ones that you looked at or give them any pointers as they're getting ready to start out comparing the various frameworks?
Yeah. I would like to say if you've had no web programming, you've never really done much web programming, you might want to start off with something like Jenga or Turbo Gears. There's a little more hand-holding.
Even They've compared got, to Web.py?
Well, Web.py is very simple. But there, you have to be able to, it's you know, Web.py to me is more a bit like a more of a Swiss Army knife.
Right.
It's got a lot of feature, a lot of functionality in it, but when it comes down to it, you're still sitting there typing makedir, you know, you're still making directories to put stuff in
and
wiring
tried
it up
Jenga
yourself.
Yeah, but a while back I tried, I mean, Turbo Gears, you can get the basic thing up and running. They have like a video tutorial and you can do it in a couple hours and have the basic system up and running. So I guess it doesn't get much easier than that, I guess, for the basics, right?
Yeah, no, I'm not sure about Jenga, but I know Turbo Gears runs on Cherry Pie.
Right.
Which is pretty nice. It's for me, that was actually, out of all of them, that's just the one component that, for me, was one of the big things. I'm not on Turbo Gears now, it's a very nice piece. It's just, it doesn't operate the way I like to operate.
Okay.
Which is one of the things I really like about Python is there are no one-size-fits-all solutions.
Yeah.
You know,
like,
and it's
like
very
I said,
easy.
I like the choice that you have, huh?
Yeah, it's very easy for everyone, depending on what you're doing, what your project even is, to be able to go out there and just be able to take the pieces I want and connect them up.
Right.
Wire them up. And if you've had some Python experience or some web experience, I really think people might want to look into web.py, especially if people like rolling their own solutions.
Right.
For databases, I have to say, if you've already played with Turbo Gears, if you've got the Python database module, the MySQL hooked up, or whatever you're going to use, I like SQL Object. It is actually what Turbo Gears currently uses. That's actually how I learned about SQL Object, as I first played around with it in Turbo Gears.
Okay.
It's very nice. Then there's also Django, has a very similar style. That's, once again, very nice. It works very well. And then there's also SQL Alchemy. If you've had more Java experience, if you like the way Hibernate does things, they might really want to look at that. And SQL Alchemy, actually, is becoming something I might even start recommending to people for even other things, because it seems to be having a lot of work going on behind it. Back in for SQL Object, I'm not real sure how much has been going on for it.
Right.
There's been some work done on it I've seen, but it doesn't appear like there's been a whole lot of releases recently.
What are there any other Python projects you've got in mind once you finish this one, or what do you think? Is this one going to keep you busy for a long time?
I'll keep me busy for a little while. The end goal here, of course, is my own website. I figured the best way to develop something that might be usable for someone else is to build something for myself. And
do you have a URL for your website you want to give out?
Sure. It's thethirdangle.org.
Right.
Currently, it's just a little WordPress site. I put it where I put WordPress on because I've set that up for other people,
mm-hmm.
and I've got some podcasts and stuff on there, and that's
interesting. What are your podcasts about?
Mainly politics. It's okay. probably non-interesting to quite a few people unless you're I'm a big politics junkie, you know. Actually, after this is done, I'm going to watch Meet the Press. So, you know, I watch all that.
Is it on
every
this
day
late at night? I thought it was on first thing in the morning on Sundays. This is Sunday evening right now as we talk.
It's on actually at 10 o'clock on MSNBC, but I got a DVR, so I record it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I record all the news shows and then just am able to watch them at my own time.
Okay.
But I mean, that's what it's about, and that's basically when you think of what I'm trying to build. It's down that route. It's being able to set up a site, and what I'm really working on is easy podcasting ability.
Oh, well, I'm interested in that, certainly, so I'm going to want to stay in touch on that. And you know what I think would be neat is once you get your site and the systems running it further along, maybe if you came back on and gave us a status report on how things went as the development project gets much further along. So
okay.
Hopefully you'll be willing to come on and share that with us.
Yeah, I'm actually switching over the way I'm doing all my development here probably in the next couple weeks. So far I've been doing everything and keeping it. I've got I've obviously got an SVN server set up, but I've been keeping all of it to myself and just working on it. And I'm switching over. I'm getting actually another URL as yet to be determined where I'm going to post all my own hosts. I might actually do it on the third angle there. I put a link on the front page. And I'm going to start hosting everything. I'm going to use Track and make everything available to everyone.
Because
I'm going to put it all under an open source license for
great.
Everyone.
Great.
What license, I'm not quite sure as of yet.
Mm-hmm.
But probably like the GPL or something. I'm still really debating that. I need to investigate. But I want to put it all there out in the open for anyone who needs it. And I try to document fairly well, so anyone who wants to use it as a tutorial, you'll be able to look through the code to see how to do these things.
Well, that's very good, and I do hope you'll be willing to come back on and talk to us again in a while on how that develops. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience that I haven't asked? Any areas about Python-related things you'd like to share?
Yeah. One thing is that I think people, when they get into it,
mm-hmm.
I think one thing they're going to find is if you ever have any problems, if nothing doesn't work, open Python, open it up in an interactive view,
yep.
and just type the code in. Copy
right.
and paste. It is one of the greatest strengths of Python.
Yep.
And another real big thing that I have found that stopped me up a lot is when you're doing your tabs, Python does recognize your spaces, your white space, as being significant.
Right.
Making sure that's lined up and making sure you aren't mixing tabs and spaces and stuff.
Yeah, that's a real no-no, and it's much better to use spaces only and not tabs.
Yep. I actually have my editor, when I hit tab, I actually just put spaces.
Right, right. That's the best way to go, and I think we all learned that. Yep.
It's a big thing that I think a lot of people, it seems like it's a real common slip-up,
mm-hmm.
because there's really no other languages where people have that. Where the white space is significant.
Right, right. Okay. Well, Michael, I really do appreciate you taking the time to talk to me about this. And I'll probably get this up in about a week's time. I like to edit it and make sure the sound's real good. And I do hope you'll come back and join us again and give us a status report on how your project's coming along. And it's really a pleasure to talk to you. And let's stay in touch.
Well, certainly.
Okay. I think for now that's Ron Stevens with Michael Morin, and this is Python 411, computer programming for everybody. Thank you.